in the book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will bring in a series of lessons out of 2 Samuel. So get close to your radio now as we take a deeper look in the book.
Yeah, wherever you are looking, that's where you're going to find your answer. If I'm just looking to Brother Charles, my answer then is Brother Charles, but that's a limited answer. Why? Because he's a limited man. It's only so much Brother Charles can do. But if you look to God and God knows that you ain't going nowhere else, you just like that man that's knocking at the door and the man say, go away, my children in bed, it's past midnight, but the man kept knocking at the door, and he says, I'm going to let you in, not because we're friends, but I'm going to let you in because you keep on knocking. And that's how it is with God. God said, let me go on and bless them, because they ain't going nowhere else. They're going to just keep talking to me and talking to me and talking to me. About it. See, God want to know you ain't got no bag of plan. See, most of us say, I'm going to try God. Well, you just messed up. When you say, I'm going to try, No, go on and put your faith. Go on and put, I'm going to just put all my faith in God. Amen. Because a lot of times when we try something, that's got in there built for failure. Ooh, my granddad just about would give me a whooping. When I would say, well, I would come home sometime, and he said, I want you to preach on Sunday. Can you preach for me? I said, well, I'll try. What you mean? You don't try to do nothing for God. You're going to either do it or you're not going to do it. But you're not going to be trying. Yeah. No, you're going to step out in faith. You're going to do it. I don't want no man to be up here trying. No, because that's flesh. When you try, that means I'm going to put forth my best effort. Whatever you do for God, you can't do it in the flesh. You got to do it in the spirit. Hello, somebody. Can I just kind of jump off the main highway and hit the service road, but I'm coming back to the main highway? That's why you have marriage failures. Most people, they start with Ephesians chapter 5, and they look at verse 22, and they say, see that what the Bible says? The Bible says, wife, submit. Then the lady look down there in verse number 25, where the Bible say, husband, love. Well, I'm going to try to love. Well, as soon as I see you trying to submit. Well, I'm going to try to submit as soon as I see you love. See, that's tri-talk. That don't work. You can't start with verse 22. You got to start with verse 18. 5:18, somebody right quick. 5:18, somebody right quick. Who know the book of Ephesians? Who can find the book of Ephesians? 5:18. Somebody right quick. Right here. Okay. Go ahead. Okay.
5:18. NLT version. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Then it says in verse 21, submitting yourself to one another in the fear of God. It ain't just the wife submit. Both of y'all got to submit. Both of y'all got to line up. And then, verse 22, But tell me something. Don't verse 18 come before 22? Why are we trying to start with 22? You see how we messed up? We done left God out. Then we jump down to 25. Well, you need to do 25, and I'll do 22. Well, don't 18 come before 25? You see? You can't do it. See, we are filled with the flesh most of the time. So, and God didn't ask you to phileo your wife. That's being just a buddy, a friend. He say, agape her. Can't no man do that. You know why? Because we don't have agape love ourselves. That's something that God has to give to the man. That's why he says, be filled with the Spirit. When you get filled with the Spirit, then you got agape love. Hello, somebody. And you know the sign of a person that's filled with the Spirit. The first sign is love. The second sign is joy. And the third sign is peace. And if somebody trying to tell you something, but you don't see no love, joy, or peace, you say, they ain't got the Spirit. They ain't got it. No. They got some interior motives right there. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Now, let's get back to the main road. Can we get back to the main road? Amen. Amen. Let's get off the service road and get back on the main road. Now, David had a good idea, but he was in the flesh then, wasn't he? Amen. It was a good purpose. But God says, listen, let me just make you some promises. And how many of you know it's better to live off the promises of God than the purposes of man? Oh, my goodness. Let's go a little bit further. Let's get back over here to the text, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse number 4-5. God says, go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shall thou build me a house for me to dwell in? God asking a question, shall David build me a house to dwell? Can a man build God a house? Why? Solomon even said it. Solomon said, heaven is your throne and earth is your footstool. Man, this house ain't never big enough for God. Even after he done built God a house, he said, this house ain't big enough for God. Now, you think about it. He says, heaven is where God set. Earth is where just put his foot down here. Now, who going to build a house big enough for God to set in? God is setting outside his universe right now. The universe can't hold it. Man, this is something. The questions of God. God said, can he build me a house? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but has walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. Now you think about it. Oh, this is preaching material, but I can't stay here too long. But this show enough preaching material. Help me, Holy Ghost. I want to say this in the right spirit here. You know what our problem is? We got too much pride. We think more of ourselves than we ought to think. See, we can stay in a nice apartment and we ain't satisfied. We can go get us a house, a nice house, 3-bedroom house, a nice piece of land. We still ain't satisfied. We can go and move to the suburbs. Amen. Now, move to the suburbs in a nice neighborhood where we won't have to, you know, see all of the crime and what have you. Staying out there, you know, in the suburbs. We done moved from the hood now to the suburbs. Staying in us a nice, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, $200,000 and $300,000 homes and stuff now, and still ain't satisfied. Wives stay on the first floor, we stay on the second floor. Amen. We almost like two ships in a night. Amen. Ain't happy. Still ain't satisfied. Driving cars, you know, we used to drive cars, you know, Ford and Chevrolet, named after men. But now we drive cars named after letters, BMW. You see what I'm saying? That's what we drive, you know, now. Or either they got to be foreign names now, foreign cars. So it takes so much to satisfy us because we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Yeah. Now, you think about it. What God is saying, y'all stay in better houses than I do. I hadn't had no house since I've been down here. Since the time I came down here, I've been staying in a tent. And I ain't complaining. I didn't complain one time. I didn't ask you to build me no house. You think about that now. If you got married and your husband took you to live in a tent. Hello, somebody. Everybody in the church will be talking about you. Child, I know they shouldn't have got married. See, they rushed the gun. They was impatient. They just had to get married. Where they standing? You ain't heard, child? They live in a tent. Come on. No. It's round there on the side of the church. You ain't seen it. I saw a tent round there. That ain't standing. Yes, they is, child. They done moved in. They got it fixed up nice. They got, you know, they got a sheet that covers this part here because you go behind that sheet, that's their, you know, bedroom, and you go in this little other little sheet over here where they got this other sheet. That's their bathroom over there. And then you got this other little sheet, and that's the living room area there. And so they got it fixed up nice in there, but child, I wouldn't have married him if he was going to put me in a tent. Hello, somebody. Look at these ladies in here. These ladies is folding up. Don't you even think about putting me in a hotel. I don't care what pastor is saying. That was back in the Old Testament, child. Don't you let pastor get you in trouble. Amen. Going to Walmart to get a tent. Can't pay the light bill now, so we just going to go on and let them evict us. We're going to go get us a tent. We're going to be like God. We're going to get us a tent. No, now, that was God, and that was back then. Amen, somebody. Amen, somebody. I said that was back then. God, he done moved out of the tent. He don't stand no tent no more now. Amen. All right. Look at these ladies. Don't woke up. Amen. Boy, it's amazing. All right. But notice, though, my point is sometimes we mess up because we always comparing ourselves with somebody who's a little bit got a little more money than we do, somebody that's got a little bit better this than we do, and we are not satisfied. See, you can get a brand new car, and then somebody else get another brand new car that's better than your car. Now, you ain't happy no more. They done took your joy. You got a Chevrolet. You was happy with that Impala. You was happy with that Chevrolet. But soon as somebody drove up in a Cadillac, that done stole your lit joy. The car's still the same. Praise God. Amen. And you know something? You ought to be really happy. You know why you ought to be happy? You could say, you know, both of us showed up at the church just about the same time. But I'm riding $200 cheaper, child. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. They paying $500, I'm paying $300. Hello, somebody. Thank you, Jesus. My car do the same thing their car do. When they go home, my car gonna take me home. Their car gonna take them home. See, we take things way too personally. You ain't sleeping with the car. That car can't come in your house. It gotta stay outside. It gotta stay in the garage. God's promise. Watch God's promise. Look what God's promise. God says, listen, now you want to do something for me? Let me do something for you. Look at what God says here. Well, let me just continue to keep reading. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spoke I word with any of the tribe of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why build ye me an house of cedar? Now, therefore, so shall thou say unto thy servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee wheresoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies. See, God says, I was the one that won them battles for you. I was the one that cut out all thine enemies out of your sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of great men that are on the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel. Notice this promise, what God said, I'm promising to do. I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. Now, notice, God is making a promise. He's saying, I used to stay in a tent. And when he was in the wilderness, remember, Moses then was on a 40-year journey, right, through the wilderness. And God was in the tabernacle. They would put up the tabernacle, and when God would move, the pillar cloud would move, or the fire cloud would move, then they would have to pack up the tent, and everybody would have to move. So they done that for 40 years, but God says, I'm going to plant y'all, that y'all now in the promised land, I'm going to plant you right here. You're going to have a place, and your enemies, they're going to try to come up against you, but your enemies, they're not going to be able to overcome you. Now, look at verse number 10 again, because I want you to see something. God is making a promise. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before. Have this prophecy been fulfilled? Yes or no? Yes or no? In part, Israel is back in the land. Do y'all realize there has been no nation that has ever went out of existence 70 years after, well, AD 70, which is about 40 years after the death of Jesus Christ, because Jesus died in AD 33. The Roman Empire came in, burnt the temple down. The Jews were scattered. From that time till 1948, they didn't have a homeland. Jesus says, I'm going to come back when they get back in the land. Do you realize we are the generation that is seeing the Bible become fulfilled. Now, they are constantly badgering Israel about doing what? Giving up land, trying to move them out of land. And do you realize every time Israel done had to give up a little land and move out, something bad has happened to our world? I'm going to give you one case in point. One case in point, and it's going to hit home to some of you. Israel used to own the Gaza Strip. The United Nations, even America, says, Israel, you got to get out of the Gaza Strip. Give up that little piece of land. Let the PLO have that land. They moved out of that land on Friday and Saturday. They evacuated it Friday and Saturday. On Monday and Tuesday, Katrina came. Do you know what the word Katrina means? The water will come. The water will come. Do you know the people that broke it, that deal? You know the people that broke it, that deal, a part of the United States that broke it, that deal? Miss Rice, which was Secretary of State, you remember her? Where was she from? Alabama. Where was President George Bush from? Texas. Katrina hit between Alabama and Texas. And every time Barack Obama met with the prime minister. He met with the prime minister of Israel back here in April. And the prime minister told him, said, no, we are not going to give up no more land. Normally, whenever you invite a president or something like that in, you normally kind of roll out the red carpet. President Obama was so upset, he didn't even have dinner with the man that night. He went on upstairs and ate dinner with his family. And he kind of shunned and made a lot of the Jews mad. That following week, that oil spill happened in the Gulf. Let me tell you something. Keep your eye on Israel. Anytime somebody try to force Israel out that land, something bad happens. Every time. Hadn't missed one time. Matter of fact, anytime the Israel president come over here, I watch something happens. And if you notice, the last 6 months are starting with December of last year to June of this year. We've been having strange earthquakes, tornadoes, been having strange weather. And almost anybody that sign on with the United States to try to push them out, they have some trouble. They don't mess with Israel. You don't. That's the apple of God's eye. Don't mess with Israel. So God says, I'm going to plant you. As a matter of fact.
Bread of life sent down from glory.
If you would like a copy of the message that you have just heard in its entirety, please call the church office at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. That's BibleWayIrving.org. And come by and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book.